The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Hey, What's News listeners, this is Luke Vargas, and we want to hear from you about what you like about this show and what you want to hear more of. Whether it's anything and everything moving the world each day, Wall Street Journal exclusives, or both. If you're listening on Spotify, look for our poll under the episode description or send us an email to wnpod@wsj.com. And now, on to the show. Noises are detected in the hunt for a missing Titanic submersible. Plus, Wall Street sours on America's downtowns, dialing up the pressure on city halls.
If investors continue to have a higher level of concern about the creditworthiness, it will become more expensive for these transit agencies to borrow. And if they're also collecting less money from fares, that does put them in a much more precarious financial situation.
And U.S. math and reading scores drop yet again as the pandemic learning slide continues. It's Wednesday, June 21st. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with new details in the search for a missing submersible exploring the wreck of the Titanic in the Atlantic Ocean. The U.S. Coast Guard says that Canadian aircraft have picked up underwater noises, though the Coast Guard added that searchers who relocated remote vehicles to explore the origin of the noises didn't find anything. The clock is ticking in the race to find the five crew members aboard the Titan submersible before their air supply runs out. The Coast Guard says its total search area so far spans 10,000 square miles, and naval and marine robotics experts have described recovery efforts as a logistical nightmare. We are exclusively reporting that intelligence has bolstered U.S. suspicions that Chinese telecom giants might be playing a role in expanding Beijing's surveillance capabilities in Cuba. U.S. officials reviewed intelligence that tracked Chinese telecom workers entering and exiting suspected spy sites on the island during the Trump administration. That is according to people familiar with the matter who say that workers from Chinese telecom companies Huawei and ZTE visited locations suspected of housing Chinese eavesdropping operations in Cuba. It could not be learned whether the Biden administration has pursued that same line of inquiry, and the U.S. Office of the Director of National Intelligence did not respond to requests for comment. The Chinese embassy didn't respond to requests for comment, nor did ZTE. In a statement, Huawei said it denied what it called groundless accusations. UK inflation is holding steady, with new data showing consumer prices 8.7% higher in May compared to a year earlier, the same as last month's reading, while core inflation rose. Journal reporter Paul Hannon told me that's a troubling development for the country's central bankers.
The Bank of England will not be happy about this set of inflation figures. In contrast to the US and most of the rest of Europe, it shows that inflation isn't falling. And on the core measure, which includes services produced inside the UK, we're seeing faster price rises. Core inflation is now at its highest level since 1992, and no signs yet of a real turn. So what that means is that the bank is very likely to increase its interest rate for the 13th straight meeting when it announces that decision tomorrow. The question is really by how much and for how much longer will it need to stay on this path of tightening policy.
Meanwhile, in Washington, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is set to provide updates on the state of the U.S. economy and the Fed's monetary policy. He's kicking off 2 days of congressional testimony with an appearance before the House Financial Services Committee this morning, which is scheduled to get underway at 10 a.m. Eastern. As white-collar workers increasingly work from home, investors are growing more pessimistic about the future of some of America's largest downtowns. Journal reporter Heather Gillers covers municipal bonds and pensions for us out of Chicago, and she joins me now with more on this story. Heather, we have reported here previously about a downturn in the commercial real estate sector in a few American downtowns, but your reporting is really going beyond that. Paint a picture for us of the signs you're now seeing that point to a broader investor wariness in some of America's urban cores.
Sure. So we're seeing that trading yields on bonds linked to commuter systems have gone up. So, for example, with New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority, some of the bonds that entity sells are trading at significantly higher yields than they were before COVID, you know, as we see fewer people taking the subways and buses, fewer people commuting into downtown. Real estate investment trusts that concentrate on downtown offices are trading at much lower prices. So investors are willing to pay much less for the share prices of those real estate investment trusts. And then common commercial mortgage-backed securities that are finance a mix of buildings that's about 30% office space, those are also trading at higher yields relative to treasury rates. So, of course, yields have gone up across the market, but we're talking about even higher relative yields here, which signify that investors are more concerned about credit risk for these securities.
Heather, help me understand this. There's a difference between investors souring on cities writ large and them having pessimism about downtowns. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Downtowns are not the same as cities. Cities are much bigger than their downtowns. And in fact, many neighborhoods have benefited from the shift to more work from home because these workers are working out of their apartments or houses and spending money on lunch or what have you around there. So in that way, the cities are just a bigger and more complex picture than downtown. And in that way, you're seeing growth in other parts of cities. But traditionally, downtowns have been a really significant place for local city governments to get revenue out of. Wealth has been concentrated in big office buildings. Some cities charge taxes on companies based on how many employees do their work within the city limits. Commuting, obviously, is another big part of the city economy, and cities collect, or transit agencies collect fares from commuters. So traditionally, downtowns have been kind of a cash cow for cities. And one of the things that's potentially a big change here is, are we going to see cities starting to look at other ways to extract wealth? So a really good example of this is in San Francisco, which is one of the cities that collects taxes on companies based on how many workers work within city limits. And the controller's office there is actually looking at the business tax code, and they may put a referendum on the ballot around changing the business tax code, because one of the questions for that city right now is this really the best way to decide how much we tax companies if, you know, their workers are doing their jobs from the suburbs?
And some of the trends that are likely behind this investor pessimism, are they playing out across the U.S., or are there some regional differences here?
Yeah, definitely. So in the South and West, there's not the same level of stress generally for a number of reasons. First of all, the suburbs are really benefiting from this shift. And then those also tend to be lower tax states. So what you saw people in the Northeast and the Midwest, as work became more remote, move to places where maybe they didn't have to pay as much taxes, or maybe they could get a bigger home. Also, you've historically, even before COVID, had some more financial stress on older cities that tend to have more pension liability, more bond debt, stronger unions, higher labor costs. All of that stuff puts stress on the city budget that, especially at a time of inflation and rising rates, is increasing. And so that's an additional pressure that those cities are facing.
And Heather, are these long-term trends necessarily, or could this maybe just be a bit of a repricing in markets?
It could be. Public markets swing wildly often in times of change and adjustment. And if investors come to decide that downtowns and the office buildings and transit systems linked to them are really worth closer to what we thought prior to COVID, then all this could kind of shake out before there's any real impact on city revenues. If that doesn't happen, if where public market investors see values dropping to is closer to where they're going to stay long term, that's going to have some impact on city property taxes, on the cost of operating a transit agency, that will constitute a kind of reckoning for cities around how they get their revenues. Again, downtowns are not the same as cities. Cities have a lot of wealthy people and companies in them. And so there's wealth to extract, but these trends that we're seeing in the public markets really challenge the way that cities have traditionally extracted revenues from downtowns. And that model, if what we're seeing in the public markets does prove to be more enduring and stick, that model is not going to work as well as it did in the past.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Heather Gillers, who covers municipal bonds and pensions for us out of Chicago. Heather, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Coming up, can artificial intelligence help to tackle money laundering? We've got that story and much more after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The S&P 500 has risen 14% this year, beating most international benchmarks thanks to a surge in shares of big tech companies. Investors are also tiptoeing back into U.S. stock funds, while interest in global stocks have faded over the same period. WSJ Finance reporter Elliot Brown explains the source of this recent enthusiasm for U.S. stocks.
The short answer is the artificial intelligence stock frenzy, with just a few really big stocks have gone up a huge amount, including Meta, which has doubled, and Nvidia, which has tripled since the start of the year, and Microsoft, which is a $2+ trillion stock, is up 40%. So that alone is really going to carry the broad indices for the US. And then there's a couple other reasons where just the economy is doing better than, say, the Eurozone.
Google is betting on AI to tackle money laundering. Alphabet's Google Cloud today launched an AI-driven product to help financial sector clients comply with regulations that require them to screen for and potentially report suspicious activity, work that to date has mostly involved a combination of human input and more traditional forms of intelligence. However, depending on how those traditional tools are calibrated, they can flag too little or too much activity. According to data cited by Google, the company's AI-first approach has cut the number of alerts received by London-based client HSBC, while increasing the number of true positives by as much as 2 to 4 times. Speaking of AI, in a speech later today at a Washington think tank, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is planning to call for more federal involvement in maintaining U.S. competitiveness in the emerging AI realm, with the aims of accelerating U.S. innovation while staving off a dystopian future. Schumer joins the Biden administration, tech industry leaders, and other members of Congress in seeking to put limits on the technology amid fears that AI tools can be abused to manipulate voters. Here is what President Joe Biden had to say in a meeting with tech leaders in San Francisco yesterday.
In seizing this moment, we need to manage the risks to our society, to our economy, and our national security. My administration is committed. It's committed to safeguarding America's rights and safety, from protecting privacy to addressing bias and disinformation, to making sure AI systems are safe before they are released.
The learning slide brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic is continuing to reverberate through American schools. National test results released today show that reading and math scores for 13-year-olds have continued to worsen since the height of the pandemic, with declines in math the largest seen in 50 years. That learning loss could set up students for further educational roadblocks in high school and beyond. According to teachers and researchers, students who've fallen behind by eighth grade are less likely to succeed in high school and to graduate on time. And President Biden will host Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi for dinner today at the White House, despite criticism of India's human rights record. That is part of a multi-day state visit to the U.S. by Modi, which Biden administration officials have spent weeks touting as a seminal moment for countering China and tapping into India's economic potential. We'll have more on Modi's visit on tomorrow's show. And finally, for many, juggling the commitments of work and family life leaves little room for, well, basically anything else. And that is especially true for women. According to a study from the Pew Research Center, even in marriages where women bring in similar income to their husbands, men still spend about 3.5 more hours a week on leisure activities. WSJ Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsig looked into this trend, and while there's no easy fix for days that feel overstuffed with obligations, she did gather some advice.
Sometimes we have unreasonable expectations. We think this like perfect moment is going to come where it's total quiet and it's just going to feel like this relaxation descending upon us. And what I heard from folks, especially one career coach told me, was it doesn't feel like that, especially right at the beginning. You might successfully carve out that half hour and you sit down and that to-do list is still running in your head, or you can hear your kids screaming. But you want to just try to sit with it and know that it's a practice and it will get better and it's worth doing even when it doesn't feel like the moment is perfect, because chances are that perfect moment is never coming.
And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.